The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Good soul and skin, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Just yesterday in the Gospel, Jesus said, "The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few." That's why today in the Gospel, Jesus sends out his 12 apostles. So let's just take a little look at the 12 apostles today. First of all, 12 is a very rich number in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, 12 was a number that symbolized that God himself was acting. 12's all over the Old Testament. For example, there were 12 sons of Jacob, and there were 12 tribes of Israel, and there were 12 patriarchs. And when the Israelites came to the edge of the promised land, Moses sent spies to reconnoiter the land. And how many spies did Moses send out? 12. And when the high priest offered sacrifice in the temple of Jerusalem, he would wear a breastplate that had precious stones on it. And how many precious stones were on the breastplate of the high priest? 12. Right? 12 was a sign of God's initiative. So it stands to reason that when Jesus founds his church, he founds it on 12 apostles to show that the initiative here is not in these ordinary guys. The initiative, rather, comes from God himself. And the fact that the apostles are listed and named draws extra attention to something else that we take for granted, namely that Jesus Christ actually founded a church. He didn't just teach and give us great insights about what God has to say or just simply leave us a great example to follow. Jesus founded a church, and he only founded one, which is something that we as Catholics take very, very seriously. And he founded it on these 12 apostles, very ordinary guys. I often think that if Christ were founding his church today, he'd probably pick guys off a construction site, or maybe he'd go to a truck stop or the stockroom floor of a Walmart. Salt of the earth, completely ordinary guys. But that's not what's important. What is important is that Jesus gave them his own authority. And that's very important for us here today. That same authority is still operative and active. You know, if you go to a Protestant church, are you aware that most Protestant churches, the congregation hires the pastor? They do their interviews and they take a vote, and the congregation hires the pastor. And if the congregation ever comes to decide that they don't like their pastor, they just take a vote of no confidence and send him on his way. That might be a very appealing idea to some of you, right? But I can tell you this much, it's not a Catholic idea. Because in the Catholic Church, the authority does not come from the people. The authority comes from God. And that's why a bishop can assign a priest to a parish, and everybody accepts him as being their priest, even though you don't know who that priest is, not from Adam's off ox. And everybody accepts him as their priest. Why? Because you trust the church that sent him, that's why. You don't necessarily trust the man. You don't even know him. You might not even necessarily trust the bishop who sent him. But you trust the church because you know that the authority comes from Christ himself. Did you know that when a man is ordained a priest, if you've ever been to the ordination ceremony, you've seen this happen. There's a dialogue. It happens in the ceremony of ordaining a priest. And the dialogue is between the bishop and a priest who is in charge of training the seminarians. And it goes something like this. The priest says, "Most Reverend Father, Holy Mother Church asks you to ordain this man for service as a priest." And the bishop replies, "Have you found him to be worthy?" And the priest replies, "After inquiring with those trained necessary for responsible for his formation, I testify he's been found worthy." And the bishop replies, "We place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and choose this man for ordination in the priesthood. Not we place our trust in you, not we place our trust in the seminary, not we place our trust in this man. We place our trust where? We place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." And brothers and sisters, that trust is needed more badly than ever before these days. Because in the past 20 years, there's been more that's been happening in the church to liquidate and destroy your trust than has probably happened in the lifetime of anybody that we know. It's hardly a week goes by I don't get some message from somebody, and they say, "I've had it with the Catholic Church. I am leaving." And it's important now more than ever to remember where we place our trust. I mean, it's definitely a bad thing when a priest or a bishop lets you down, right? There's an ancient saying, it says, "Corruptio optimi pessima." And it means the corruption of the best is the worst. Fortunately, that works in reverse as well. When a priest lives up to his calling and he's a true man of God, you're so grateful for that, aren't you? But it's important for us to remember where we place our trust, who started this whole thing, and on whom this church was founded. It wasn't founded on scholars. It wasn't founded on saints. It was founded on 12 very ordinary men, replete with plenty of personal faults. But our trust was never in the messenger, was it? Our trust is in the message. Our trust was never in the apostles themselves. Our trust is in the one who sent them. And that is what the one to whom we must be faithful by being good members of the church. It's why I hate it whenever anyone uses the word conservative and liberal in regard to the church. I hate it because those words come to us from politics. God does not come to us from the right or from the left. He comes to us from above. Nothing in the church is rightly described as conservative or liberal. It's either faithful or it's unfaithful. And to stay faithful to him in times like these, that'll keep you busy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So let's strive and pray to be faithful and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Maria Goretti, pray for us.